Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode number 75 of Off the Mark. We are your source for professional wrestling. I am Andrew, and I'm joined by my co-host Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. Vladimir Kozlov, Melina Perez, David Hartsmith, and Chris Masters have all been released. By the way, what is David Hartsmith's real name?
I forgot.
Because CM Punk actually said it on Raw.
Yeah. So they all got released, which was kind of a surprise. There were a couple names that I was surprised were not on there. I'm surprised Vladimir and Melina got released. David Hart, if he got released, I don't know why Tyson Kidd didn't. Chris Masters doesn't surprise me either. There's a couple others that, you know, I could have seen on the chopping block. Some FCW people, of course, got released also.
Lucky Cannon's the biggest one of those, though.
Yeah, and I think that the big story really here about these people that got released, you know, some of them talked about their release, but Melina was not allowed backstage at a couple of events that she tried to get backstage at, and she was going there because she's dating John Morrison.
Yep.
But she wasn't allowed back there.
And it was very weird that they did not allow her back there. That's the weird part, because you'd think that, okay, yeah, she just got released, but she's visiting her boyfriend. You think it'd be okay, but apparently it's not.
Mm-mm.
So that means she's not going to be at SummerSlam, which is the weird part. And by the way, did you notice in SummerSlam, Chris Masters was in the thing where they all come out of the water, and they cut his part out completely. And Chris Masters, him getting released, it was coming because they had nothing going for him. They kind of brought him back as the mid-carder, and then for some reason they had nothing for him. So he just
At all. Well, and he said that he actually wants to go to Impact Wrestling. He wants to go over to TNA and maybe do something there. Which, that kind of brings me to my next thing, which is John Morrison. He, we're going to talk a little bit about what happened to him on Raw, but they're wondering if a lot of people are speculating that he is next to go because of Melina. Not because of anything else, but mainly because of Melina. What do you think?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised at, because they had some, something that's going to come up on Raw. But he wrestled basically a feud that was going on, and they wrestled on a free TV opposed to putting on the pay-per-view like it should have been. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what's happening, but he could go to Impact and do something big. He can go to Ring of Honor, do something, and be better almost going there.
I don't see him, though, being at Ring of Honor. Like, when CM Punk left, I would have seen him at Ring of Honor, not at Impact. John Morrison, though, I think has a look for Impact Wrestling. And I think over there, he could have some feuds with, like, Jeff Hardy or Matt Hardy. He could have some really good feuds with some old rivals. And I think that would be really cool to see.
It would be cool to see. And they could almost, Impact Wrestling could do a thing where they bring back certain Tough Enough people who are actually people who are on Tough Enough, the contestants. They could bring them on and have a little, feud or whatever, which would be kind of neat. But
I think I
don't think he's on the chopping board.
I think, though, that he's a made man, and I think that if he has the ability to go to Impact Wrestling, I think he would take it.
Well, let's see what happens. Gail Kim actually quits on Monday, but then I saw some reports out there that she might not have actually quit. It could be a storyline. I mean, or did she really quit?
I think she quit, but WWE has not let her go yet. So even though she quit, she's under contract and she's not allowed to quit. So WWE wants to keep her there. She wants to go to Impact Wrestling, though, too. The thing that I kind of like, having these two organizations and having TNA be such a little bit bigger than a Ring of Honor, you have that ability to have people leave WWE and go to TNA. And mm-hmm. I like that. I like the fact that, these people can be seen on TV somewhere else other than USA, and that makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. And, with Melina going and Gail Kim quitting, I mean, you lose two of your women's wrestlers right off the bat. So the women's division has kind of gone downhill. They're going to have to get a couple more in.
Mm-hmm.
But with you know, them getting fired, apparently WWE wants to bring back some known stars like Batista, Jericho, and Foley. I'm kind of surprised on this. Jericho and Batista are the weird ones. Foley's going to come back. It's going to happen one way or the other. There's no way around it. It's just going to happen.
Yeah, and Foley is the type of guy where, I mean, he doesn't hold bad blood. You know, he'll be on Raw probably for like a few months, and then, you know, maybe he'll be like, oh, that's enough for me, and then he'll go back to TNA.
And he'll be known as the anonymous Raw general manager.
Which, as I said before, I would be so pissed about.
I'm a little bit
in favor of this. This could help out WWE and Raw. But I also think that, you know, you could make some stars too, which is something that, you know, maybe we should talk about a little later.
Well, the big thing also is, what has Batista been doing? He's the one, like, I know what Foley's been doing, I know what Jericho's been doing, but what has Batista been doing? Is he just laying around doing nothing?
He talked about doing MMA, but, you know, he hasn't done anything. So I don't know if he planned it out correctly where he doesn't have to worry about money or if, you know, he's just done altogether in that business.
Well, that's true. That's true.
We'll see.
We'll see. So Impact Wrestling has reported they have not brought back either Matt or Jeff Hardy to TV because the company wants both of them to check into rehab, but they're both refusing. So What drug are they on? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
It's wasted talent. Like, you know, there are some people who go their whole career and they don't do that type of stuff. Or if they do it, they do it in moderation. To the point that they can still have a career. You see somebody like Sting who will be remembered for all of time. And to my knowledge, Sting, you know, if he may have done steroids, he probably did. But other than that, he doesn't do anything. And he's going to be remembered for a very long time. Matt and Jeff will be remembered, but they're going to have such a short career that they're going to kind of ruin their own legacy. You know, it's like that way in music, you know, like Kurt Cobain will always be remembered. But, you know, he died well before, like, his prime, and there are people who are out there now who will be remembered for a very long time, you know, I mean, Aerosmith or Rolling Stones, who didn't shoot their career short, and they're shooting their career short.
Yeah, but the other thing also is that Hardy's been on multiple times saying, oh, we're not taking stuff. Anyway, so Samoa Joe is thinking about leaving TNA, which is surprising, because his contract does run out in a couple months. But it's interesting that he's thinking about leaving because they're not doing anything with him. I mean, he could come on to WWE, but they'd probably ruin him. He'd probably talk to him and say, this is what I want with my character. Do not screw it up. Because he's basically a heavyweight that's going to do cruiserweight moves.
I honestly think that if he goes to WWE, he's going to sign like a 3-year contract. And he is going to ruin himself there. He's going to wrestle all the time. And he's going to do crap matches too. They're going to put him in a feud with Dolph Ziggler. He is better than that. He is much better than that. Much, much better than that. So they're going to put him in those types of feuds. And it's going to be like, well, what's the point in even being here? They're going to ruin him like they ruined Taz. Taz was ruined in the WWE. And he probably would have been ruined in WCW also. And so that's why, like, I mean, you know, the thing is, some people just work out better in certain promotions. And I just think that Samoa Joe is TNA or Ring of Honor. So...
yeah, I hope he at least goes to Ring of Honor. I mean, that's at least he can wrestle there and it'll be okay. But his character will stay the same. WWE will just change his character up completely, tell him to slow down the wrestling pace because no one wants to have fast wrestling moves done when I think everyone does. So let's move on to Raw. Triple H announces that he's going to be the guest referee in the Cena Punk match. I saw this coming a mile away, but I didn't think it was going to be Triple H. I thought it was going to be Mick Foley.
I don't know. I mean, I think that might have been too quick, but yeah, I could have seen it. But this is going to be really interesting because obviously one of the things they have going on is that they are really trying to tease the fact that Triple H is going to try to be a company man and ensure that John Cena wins. The only thing I'm kind of a little weary on is I think that this is something that they could have done last week. I think that this would have been nice to see. But I'm interested in this. I mean, obviously, we're going to watch the pay-per-view. I think that we're both really excited for it. But the one thing, though, that I really wanted to talk to you about, Andy, is that Miz, Kofi Kingston, Rey Mysterio Jr., and Alberto Del Rio, none of them have feuds. None of them have feuds going on. What is going on with these four, like, really high mid-card wrestlers?
You know, I'm not sure, because they're just wasting talent here. I mean, there's so many guys. I mean, right here, all four of them can be feuding with each other if they really wanted to do it. But they're not, and that's the stupid part about this whole situation. It just proves my point that Stephanie is just taking all her time and focusing on one thing and one thing only. Her husband. He doesn't need to be there. That's the problem. The fact that The Miz, who is very popular and keeps getting seen in L.A. all the time, SummerSlam, this weekend is going to be in L.A., you'd think they'd be pushing The Miz, his hometown. Technically, it's Cleveland, but he lives in L.A. now. But you'd think that they'd be pushing him. They're not. Kofi, what is Kofi doing? He comes out and has a great match. What was the point of it against The Miz? There was no point to that match besides them putting on a great match. If they were feuding, or say those two are feuding to see who's going to face Dolph Ziggler later, great. But there's nothing going on with that. Then Rey Mysterio.
There's no point to that match, is what
right.
you're saying.
So Rey Mysterio, what is he doing? Nothing.
Getting injured.
Getting quote unquote injured, yes. Alba Del Rio, money in the bank, nothing. Absolutely nothing. He wrestled CM Punk because he's probably going to cash in after SummerSlam.
Now, and his match with Punk was a really good match. I mean, right. It was short. You know, it was probably like 2-3 minutes long, but it was a good match. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I just wish that there were a little more teases, because the problem is, like, any of the pins that they did were, he's obviously going to kick out of that. It wasn't like Alberto did his armbar and Punk was able to get to the ropes, or Punk did the Anaconda Vice and Alberto was able to get to the ropes. You need to have that, you know, sense of, are they going to win here?
Right.
They didn't have that in that match. Other than that, though, it was still a good match, but it was a match for match's sake. That's the problem with it.
Yeah, and that's what's hurting the WWE right now. They need to focus on feuds. Not, hey, let's just have these guys wrestle and let's have these guys wrestle. You know what? Last time someone did something like this, it was WCW and they folded. Is that what's going to end up happening here? I mean, I seriously think that... I know they put all this money out there, but eventually people are just going to say, I'm sick of the product. I don't understand why they're wrestling. Okay, it was a great match, but I saw this 2 months ago. That's what's going to keep happening, because they're only pushing those four guys. I mean, the only besides Dolph Ziggler, that's not that we didn't list. But anyway, so John Morrison and R-Truth have a match that from a feud that I said months ago was going to be a great thing. It's going to put both of them as main eventers.
Possibility of putting them as main eventers,
but they put it on free TV, though. There's no point to having it on a free TV.
And I think you and I are both in agreement that the feud itself was good. It was a good feud. It had the buildup was really good, the injury. And so when Morrison came back, you know, you had that like heat there. And the match was even good, but like it was on free TV.
This should have been on SummerSlam.
This is the point of a pay per view. What I expected was that Morrison was going to come out and then Truth would have got counted out. You know, he would have been like, no, you know, we're going to play this game on my terms. Or he would have attacked Morrison before the match started, like Miz did to Ray. But that didn't happen. And so this really confused me why they did this, which is why I really think that they are going to get rid of Morrison.
Well,
because there's no reason, because you get a paycheck if you wrestle at the pay-per-view. You get a big paycheck. And I really think that they didn't want to give Morrison any more money.
I think it was a little bit of punishment because he tried to bring Melina in, is what I'm assuming. But still, why punish him when on TV you're pushing him so hard? I mean, you're better off just firing him and saying, I don't know who John Morrison was. Mm-hmm. That's what they should have done. Or bring back Johnny Nitro and have the Nitro theme music playing in the background. So we had the contract signing, and CM Punk, of course, makes me laugh the entire time because I was thinking the same thing he was thinking. He's basically like, you know, I don't even know why we're doing this because someone's going to end up fighting, getting put through the table and all this stuff. And I was like, I kept thinking the entire time, I was like, Triple H just wants to put the pedigree on CM Punk. That's it.
Well, this was amazing because, you know, we've joked so many times about, oh, there was a contract signing and you'd never believe what'll happen. And CM Punk, he called that out. He called out those shenanigans. And you know what? Cena said some things that really were like, wow. He said, I am not wrestling for the – he didn't say marks, but he was referring to the smarks and the marks about – I'm not wrestling for them. I'm not going to – you know, my five moves of doom by – he called that out. I'm not going to turn heel. You know, he said things that I was just like, wow. Cena, you've kind of won me over a little bit.
Yeah, he actually went to – he took some things to like the degree that you're like, wow, he actually said that. And I can't remember everything exactly off the top of my head what he said, but some of the stuff I was like, ooh, is that kind of pushing it? You know, I was like, is there a line that you're supposed to draw? I mean, the fact that he actually brought out the fact about David Hart Smith was, to me, was a big deal. Because, and also...
That,
huh?
You mean when CM Punk did that, right?
I'm sorry. When CM Punk was bringing out stuff and he talked about the people that just got released. Notice he didn't say anything about Melina, but he brought up the...
He did.
Because as he put it, he doesn't like women's wrestling. But he asked. But he also did state, though, two guys who just got released. You know, Chris Masters, Vladimir Kozlov, and then, I'm sorry, three, David Hart Smith. And then he actually called him by his real name, and I was like, wow, that's breaking, you know, a certain aspect, you know, the fourth wall, as they call it, or whatever. I was surprised he got away with a lot of the stuff, but they're letting him go, letting him do his own thing from what he's saying. I mean, and there's so many. I mean, I could sit there and pick this thing apart and like what they're doing with CM Punk, but honestly, it's making me watch WWE TV. It's making me not skip forward. It's making me watch. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that this stuff is not scripted. A lot of this stuff's ad-libbed. They just have a guideline to go by, and that's it. I'm happy about that. I'm glad they're doing that.
And, you know, Cena's doing a very good job. Punk is doing a good job. You know, even Triple H, to an extent, I think that this is probably the most interesting storyline he's been in the longest time. I can't think of I can't think of an interesting storyline that he's been in that I enjoyed, because most of them that he was in, I hated and are a blemish on the sport of wrestling.
Yeah.
So this one, and he threw himself in there. You know, Triple H was like, this is really good. I need to get in on this.
You know, Stephanie's like, I think you'd be great in the storyline. I mean, you're so perfect at everything else. Okay, honey. That's what I think really happened. But I got to say, the funniest thing still is when he pulled out Triple H's tie last week and he says, or do you have to ask your wife? And the look that Triple H had, I don't think that was planned. I don't think it was. It was so hilarious.
There are things that go on that I question. But you know what, though? It makes fans like us watch the program, not fast forward, and that's
really, and also it makes us tell other people about it, like, hey, did you watch wrestling? Like, I sent one of our friends a text message. I'm like, hey, I think wrestling's cool again. So let's move on.
Speaking of wrestling being cool, you know what is really cool, Andy?
Tyson Kidd maybe getting a win on SmackDown.
No, you know what's cool is there was a fake Razor Ramon and a fake Diesel back in the late 90s,
yeah,
mid to late 90s. You know what's really cool is to redo stuff like that, like having Sin Cara come out, a fake Sin Cara come out and beat Tyson Kidd, who probably should have been released this past week.
Well, this is why he wasn't released.
So he can lose Cara number two.
The Sin Cara number two. You know, I can't tell if it's actually him or not. It's close.
Not.
But
it wasn't him. I rewatched that dude. And first of all, he has a 30-day suspension. Dude, that is not him. And if it was, you know, I was wrong. I don't think it was, though.
You know what'd be funny is, since the WWE owns Sin Cara, if they actually terminate the wrestler who was playing Sin Cara, Mystico, and just continue using Sin Cara, and then like bury him.
They could.
That's what they'd probably be doing. They just bury him. So Alberto Del Rio beats Daniel Bryan. So it was Money in the Bank versus Money in the Bank, Raw versus SmackDown. And then Wade Barrett decides to beat up Daniel Bryan. What's the point? I mean, is this going to be a feud now? Because I think it's been a dumb way of setting up a feud.
Well, what's the point in having somebody on Raw come over to SmackDown? If they really wanted to turn that into like this big feud, I mean, why didn't they do that and then have them wrestle on a pay-per-view? Why would they have them wrestle on free TV?
I mean, if they want, you know what the thing is? They could have actually been really weird and said, you know what? let's do Money in the Bank versus Money in the Bank, winner takes all. They could have done that. And then Del Rio...
That'd been interesting.
Yeah, because then Del Rio could have lost it, and he would never win the belt.
Obviously, they wouldn't do that. But yep. You know what else happened that was kind of weird was that Cody Rhodes won the Intercontinental title from Ezekiel Jackson.
Which is big freaking news. That's huge news. Why give him the belt now?
Well, because now that title is not only worthless, but what was the point in having Ezekiel Jackson even win it in the first place?
There's no point. There's no reason why he should have won it. Cody Rhodes wins it, and then it's like, okay, why would you have him win it just a few days before SummerSlam? There's no point to that. And that just, I don't know. That just, they should have never done it. He should have not won it. And it was a big deal, too. I mean, it was a huge deal. I mean, reports came out right away saying he won it. And I was like, why? You know, and I'm just frustrated about it. So anyways, do you have any more thoughts on that? No. Okay. So let's go to Johnny Curtis. He debuts.
No, but you know what I have thoughts about is Johnny Curtis. They've been teasing him debuting for weeks now. And he finally debuts against Mark Henry in a squash match.
Yeah. That's awesome, though.
Why?
Because that's the whole funny part of it. He keeps on coming on and having these stupid things that he would say. And then all of a sudden you bring him on TV saying, you know, last week, hey, I'm going to be wrestling on SmackDown next week. And then you have him face Mark Henry.
I think that's kind of stupid.
Yeah, it is. You know why? Because Stephanie's more like, how can I put Triple H into SmackDown now? That's what she's thinking the entire time. There's no point. The fact that you have a husband and wife, they're going to ruin the WWE. And this is my point. They built him up. His first match, he should have won. There's no reason why he should have lost it, especially in a squash.
Well, I don't mind him losing the match. Why have him face him? Why have Curtis face Henry when you could have him face
a local wrestler? Or Zach Ryder, yeah.
A wrestler. You could have him face Ted DiBiase. You could have him face a number of other people. This booking boggles my mind. It really does.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering,
let's just move on to Skater, Andy.
So are you a blogger or a podcaster? You're not happy with your web host like we were? Well, then you should check out HostGator.com. You'll find web hosting made easy and very affordable. They offer unlimited disk space, bandwidth, and one-click script installs. They also have a free site builder, and it has the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Let's go into the pay-per-view. Crimson stays undefeated, and RVD loses points in the Bound for Glory series. I don't understand why Crimson won still. I was confused at the pay-per-view. Why?
Yeah, I don't know. Look, when Goldberg had his streak, it was a big thing, and he was believable as a monster. Crimson looks like a normal guy. And you can have him lose matches. You can have him lose against RVD. You can have him lose against Kurt Angle or against Samoa Joe, which is what they should have done a couple pay-per-views ago, which really annoys
me.
And I'm really annoyed. And to be honest, it kind of is making me not like Crimson at all. I think that he could be an okay wrestler. He could be an okay talent, but I kind of don't care for him right now.
Right. I completely understand. Bully Ray beats Ken Anderson in an NWO black and white feud a mortal feud. Back in the day, of course, WCW did a feud, internal people fighting. They're doing the same thing now. What do you think of this?
Yeah. Although back then they did it with like Horace Hogan and Stevie Ray. Now they're doing it with, you know, two other people. But it seems like the same thing. It seems very recycled, and it's unfortunate because Anderson deserves better.
Yes, he really does. Yes, he does. I was hoping to see Vincent, but he didn't show up.
No.
Anyway, so Kurt Angle is your new Impact Wrestling champion. After he Mr. Hogan throws a chair in and he smacks Sting with it, which I couldn't believe.
You know, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit more about this, in just a second. But you know, one of the reasons I even wanted to talk about the pay per view now is because this is a great lead-in to is. You know, on Impact Wrestling this week, You know, they're teasing that Angle is going to join Immortal. Now, at the end of the pay-per-view, Hogan came out, was going to hit Sting with the chair, and Angle grabbed it from him, and, you know, Hogan left the ring, and then Angle still hit Sting with the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Is Angle going to join Immortal, or is he opportunistic?
Opportunistic, because he will not join Immortal, period. I can guarantee you that right now. He will not join Immortal. It'll be stupid if he does. But, you know, crazier things have happened. You know, Paul Burchill could come back as a pirate next week. You never know.
I don't think he needs to, though. Like, him joining doesn't help out the cause. I mean, there's no need for it at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, while we're talking about wrestling, though, we never talk about women's wrestling, but where's Velvet Sky been? Has she just been taken off TV? Or am I just not noticing?
You know, I was thinking about that, too.
Because she wasn't at the pay-per-view. No, and no. I was like, okay, why is Miss Tessmacher teaming up with Tara? Where's Velvet Sky? And I was like, I was like, she just had this huge feud with, I can't remember the girl's name now off the top of my head.
With ODB.
And Miss Tessmacher was with her along with Jackie. And what happened? I was like, okay, they're just doing this feud. I don't remember an injury angle or anything. I'm like, they just decide, hey, we're not going to put you on TV for a while. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, and it's not bad because I've always said before that you don't need to have everyone on the TV all the time. Because if you do, it kind of, you know, maybe they get a little stale, you know?
I mean, yeah.
You need to have a break.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that's what's probably happening with her because I just couldn't figure out, I'm like, where has Velvet Sky been? Because, you know, like I said, it was a great feud. Anyways, well, Crimson beats Bully Ray and then gets attacked by Kurt Angle. Now, is this setting up Angle versus Crimson then for the title?
I do not think that if Crimson wins the Bound for Glory series and then Crimson has to take on Angle at Bound for Glory, that is not a pay-per-view seller for me. I don't see that and go, oh, I can't wait to see them. Now, if it was Robert Roode or if it was Samoa Joe, or if it was somebody else, then I would be interested in it. Crimson to take on Angle, though, not at all.
Completely understand. No. And that's pretty much it. Impact Wrestling sucked this week.
It didn't suck, but there were missed opportunities.
Okay, you're right. Lots of missed opportunities, like on Raw and SmackDown and Impact Wrestling. So let's move on to our weekly topic. Does the WWE need to bring back made stars to TV? Hence, Chris Jericho, Dave Bautista,
Mick Foley.
I'm trying to think
the
of some
Rock,
other.
Hurricane, Stone Cold.
Hurricane Helms, DDP. You know.
Do they need to bring these people back, or should they make new stars, or are these people like one of a kind? You know, like
no.
You know, there's only one Hulk Hogan. There's only one Rock.
Yeah, but
I mean,
and there's only one Mick Foley. I understand that, but the thing is. The product you have now is not doing well. You have one good angle going on. You could be promoting so many good things. I remember when the WWE was pushing back in the Monday Night Wars, and Too Cool was nobody's, and they kept pushing him and pushing him and pushing him, and they got put in the main feud, and the people went nuts when they got put in the main feud, or for the main event, this one Raw. And they were still superstars, and everyone loved them. They're not doing that anymore. They're just basically throwing matches together with people, and you're like, what's going on here? And then I wouldn't be surprised if you start hearing what's going on with these storylines, and they'll say, what are the point of these matches? They'll say, I don't know. When that starts happening, then there are some major issues going on, major issues internally going on Raw, and I have two people to blame, and that's it. That's why Shane...
But who are those two people?
Well, Trips and Stephanie, because it seems like it's like the Triple H stuff. Whenever he's in, it's been great. You go away from it, it's crap. It's because Stephanie's putting all her time in it. That's the problem. Huge problem. And I, you know, this happened to WCW, and this is the fall of them. That's why you need competition. You need someone on another network running wrestling that just makes the WWE look stupid.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we're not getting that with TNA right now.
Nope, because they're doing the same crap. But the
back
thing
to the topic at hand, though, right. Andy, which is, you know, bringing back these made stars. And I really think that, like, a John Morrison, I really feel that John Morrison could be like a HBK. I think that you could turn him into that type, that pretty boy, but he could still, like, he could beat you, you know?
Right.
And that's what HBK was. And I think that you could turn him into an HBK-like character that would be memorable. Because right now, you only have John Cena and you have Randy Orton. Those are your two biggest stars right now in the WWE. And CM Punk has exploded over the past month. And you are now turning him into, like, your number three star down. And The Miz is pretty decent, too. And Rey Mysterio, if you know some wrestling. But you also got to realize that they are dividing these people over two different brands. There are two shows going on that these people are divided to.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest problem. I think that they don't need to bring back people. I think that they need to consolidate.
I don't think you consolidate, but they need to have people that have been there for a while, like Evan Bourne, and push them, finally push them. That's what they need to do. And, you know, everyone should be in a feud of some sort. And there's, I mean, what's Evan Bourne doing? No feud. What's Kofi doing? No feud anymore. Okay. What's Dolph Ziggler doing? He's in a feud with A-Rod. Looking forward to it. Okay.
But that's a missed opportunity, though, too, because... You know, you could throw in there Evan Bourne and Jack Swagger into that feud. Jack Swagger obviously was a failure as a World Heavyweight Champion. He didn't get the heat that they thought that he would. And now they can say he's a former World Heavyweight Champion. Have him go after the IC title. Or I'm sorry, the United States title. Why not do that? I've said this so many times, that to make a title worthwhile, you can't just have one person going for it. You need to have a group of people going for it. Having... four or five people vying for that championship makes that championship special. Things are only as special as you make them. If you know, they tell you that the U.S. championship is the biggest championship in the land, okay, well, prove it. Prove why it is the biggest championship. It's not big if you just say it is. It's big if you prove it.
Exactly. And that's the problem. And, you know, that's why you already have stars that have been – look at Alex Riley. He was throwing the main event picture pretty fast, and people loved it. The fact that he beat The Miz, that was a big deal. And then he's kind of pushed away and saying, oh, now he's in a feud with Dolph Ziggler. Okay. Couldn't they have transitioned that just a little bit better? But they didn't. And that's, in all seriousness, that's why, you know, I guess I can go over thousands of ways to fix WWE, but the problem is what our topic was and what we need to stay on. Is the fact that they just need to not bring made people back. They need to make people. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So.
And I mean, that's, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's not just about bringing back these people, because you don't need to bring them back if you have made people. And I think the other big thing, too, is you consolidate and you have people wrestle on Raw and on SmackDown, and you have the most major feuds on Raw. And then you have secondary feuds on SmackDown, I think then you have a better product. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, I know, like you said, you know, make people. I think that you make people, but I also think you consolidate. That's just my opinion, though.
Okay.
You know, we have to disagree from time to time.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm always right. So, anyways, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions and Section 86 for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.